Welcome to Life Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg, a show for providing self-improvement information that has a positive effect, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Dr. Alan Simberg.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. If you want more information about the Tough Talk Radio Network, visit our website at www.toughtalk.com that are offered by the network. If you're not listening to any of the live shows, they are archived and available the day of the live. If you're interested in being a guest on my show or any of the other shows, go to the top of the Tough Talk Radio Network page and click on the hosted shows link. Then click on the link to the show that you want to be a guest and click on the register to be a guest link. If you're thinking about having your own show, there's information on the website about that as well. Be a guest blogger with me by contacting me by email, and the address is alan@alansimberg.com. If you want to call or text me during the week, my phone number is 281-785-0660. If you want to call into the show with a question or brief comment, the number to call is 347-989-1363, and press option 1 to connect with the producer. Again, that number to call with a question or brief comment is 347-989-1363, and press option 1 to connect with the producer. If you want to just listen by phone, call that number and don't press option 1. You can also message me on Facebook at alan.simberg, at Tough Talk Radio Network, or you can tweet me at alansimberg, at alansimberg. I want to let you know that this segment of the show is being sponsored by Standard Process. Standard Process is a company that has a farm in Wisconsin. And they have an organic farm, and basically what that means is they grow organic vegetables, and they use those vegetables to make what is commonly referred to as whole food supplements. Whole food supplements are different from the supplements which I refer to as synthetic supplements that you may purchase either in a health food store or a drugstore. As should be obvious by now, the basic difference between whole food supplements and synthetic supplements is that whole food supplements have food in them and are composed primarily of food nutrients. Synthetic supplements, on the other hand, are made up of chemicals. The reason why this makes a very big difference, in my opinion, is food has many known and unknown factors in it. Chemicals have the factors in them that are already known. The key to keep in mind is that foods have everything, both the known and unknown factors, that are capable of not only helping you to maintain good health, but also help you to offset any health challenges you may be going through. Now, I'm not saying that they cure you. What I am saying is that they provide the nutrition that's necessary to your body that can help your body and your immune system to be strong, to be able to fight off any health challenge you may have and help you to either maintain and or regain your health. So whole food supplements are extremely important, and as what is probably obvious from what I'm saying so far, I do believe that food is medicine, and that is one of the primary reasons why I believe in whole food supplements. I believe that if you eat a truly healthy diet, and I don't mean that you should diet. I'm talking about by diet, the food that you eat on a regular basis. So it's the lifestyle that you have, the foods that you eat on a regular basis. If you eat vegetables, salads, lean meats, fish, some fruit, you are getting a lot of the nutrients that you need. The only problem is with today's farming, we don't really quite get the nutrition that we were able to get many years ago. And one other quick comment about this before I go on to talking about, but I'm actually going to finish up talking about what I started last week's show with in terms of addiction. But I do also want to mention that Standard Process, in a sense, does have a sister company. It's called MediHerb. That's MediHerb. And they have, as is implied by their name, herbs. What is not implied by their name, but I will tell you, they have very high-quality herbal supplements which are unstandardized, which basically means, there again, they have the known and unknown factors in the herbs. They're the herbs as nature presents them, not as man changes them or modifies them, so they can work highly effectively in your body. Now, in terms of the comments that I want to make about addiction today, is I want to do a brief review about what I said last week. And essentially what I want to say is that there are two types of addictions. There are substance addictions and there are process addictions. Substance addictions basically refers to the idea of an individual getting addicted to something that they take into their body. And some examples of that would be alcohol, cocaine, heroin, pain medications, anti-anxiety medications, sleeping medications, and laxatives. Now, basically, the idea behind addictions, and this is the basic idea, is that when you take something into your body over a period of time at a certain quantity level, at some point, you will not get the same effect over time that you got originally. This will cause you to want to have a higher amount of that particular substance in order to get the same effect. The technical term for that is tolerance. And basically what we're talking about here is that you will develop a tolerance to that substance, and you will need to take it in increasing amounts and or increasing frequency in order to get the same effect. Now, process addictions basically refer to behavior, and some examples are shopping, eating, or gambling. Those are addictions that you engage in a particular behavior, and not that you necessarily have to do that in increasing amounts, although that is part of the picture. But the other part of it is, as is also true with substance addictions, is that the process addictions have a highly negative effect on your life over time and eventually will cause you a lot of problems. And one simple example would be financial problems. Now, I want to go over what the available treatments are for substance abuse. Now, these treatments are also available for the process addictions. However, for the substance addictions, it is very important, especially when you're going to be considering the life-threatening aspect of the substance addictions. So there is inpatient detox, and that basically means that you go inpatient, and it's extremely important if you have a problem with alcohol or anti-anxiety medications or sleep medications. There are many people that can have such a severe reaction to stopping the use of those particular substances that it's threatening and can actually result in death. But a trained mental health professional and a trained medical professional will know the questions to ask you to help you to determine if that's the kind of treatment you need. Now, other treatments available are partial hospitalization, intensive outpatient, individual counseling, extended aftercare, halfway houses, three-quarter houses, self-help meetings, including 12-step, which includes AA, NA, Al-Anon, Nar-Anon, and also there's another type of meeting called rational recovery, which basically has a lot more to do with teaching you how to think differently, and there are also faith-based recovery meetings. The overall goals of treatment are abstinence and relapse prevention. Of course, in some cases, as I just mentioned, detox is also one of the primary initial goals. Well, we're going to go to commercial break at this point, and when we come back, I'm going to introduce my first guest.
Are you feeling burnt out or lost on where to go or what to do next when it comes to your business? If you feel like you own a job instead of a business, or if your business is running you instead of you running it, we can help. The Thrive Business Center was created to educate and support small business owners. With a strategic approach and a proven method, we'll help you identify what is working well in your business and what is not. Then, together, we can establish an action plan with an implementation process so that your business can get back to thriving. For more information, go to ThriveBusinessCenter.com. ThriveBusinessCenter.com.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Join Dr. Alan Simberg and his guests every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Life-Changing Insights. Life-Changing Insights is a show dedicated to providing its listeners with self-improvement information that has a positive effect on an individual's mental, physical, and spiritual being, as well as unresolved relationship issues. For more information or to be a guest on Life-Changing Insights, go to Life-Changing Insights with DrAlanSimberg.com. Life-Changing Insights, every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Life-Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. I'm going to introduce my first guest today, who's Michael Elner. Michael is an author, instructor, presenter, and certified medical hypnotist in private practice in New York City. He teaches advanced courses in medical hypnosis at schools throughout North America and South Africa, and is a featured instructor of hypnotic pain relief, effective medical communication, and stress management at the annual Pain Week Conference. Michael has conducted webinars in patient interaction and rapport building for many different medical professionals and for ExecSense, the world's leading webinar publisher for medical and top business professionals. He is the lead author of a peer-reviewed paper, Hypnosis in Disability Settings. He has two ebooks titled Hope is Realistic and Pediatric Pain Relief, How to Help Take Suffering Out of Children's Pain. His third book is available in paperback or Kindle version and is titled Hope is Realistic, A Physician's Guide to Helping Patients Take Suffering Out of Pain. And now let's learn more about Michael. Hello, Michael, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, working with hypnosis professionals can supplement medical and psychological care for people with addictions. And we don't treat addictions. We're not qualified to do that. But once a person is going through the treatment process, we can help them learn how to reduce stress, learn how to move into rest and digest states, and to focus their attention in ways that promote staying on track. So part of what I do is I help people develop their self-care skills, which is an excellent supplement to what you described.
Well, that's really very interesting information. Would you say that the approach that you use in with hypnosis, with people that are struggling with addictions, is different in any way than the hypnosis that you might use for different kinds of problems, or is it all sort of basically the same approach but with some variation depending on the problem?
The variation depends more on the person than the problem. You know, when you talk about various things, we're talking about patterns of behavior. My approach, and I have a following of practitioners who take a like approach, is to give the person the skills and abilities to work with this themselves. So what we do is we utilize teaching people mindfulness and self-hypnosis. And what we do is we help them enhance those skills and abilities, because ultimately, I think in terms of what your show is about and in terms of our practice, I teach people intentional relaxation and the daily practice of mindfulness and or self-hypnosis, and that helps these people get more from their innate healing resources. So if I'm working with somebody dealing with an addiction, I'm helping them get more out of their innate healing resources. If I'm working with somebody dealing with pain, it's different because pain is subjective. And very often, no one or no modality can actually stop the signals, but I can help people react in different ways to the signals. So in effect, you might think of taking the suffering out of painful signals, because people experience their reaction to the signals rather than the signals. So hopefully the hypnotist that's being utilized has a very large toolbox and is able to personalize and customize what they're doing to help the individual that they're helping. So does that answer your question?
Yes, yes, it does. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, actually a couple of things that you've just said, in terms of, you know, it's obviously very, very clear that pain is subjective, and you were talking about taking the suffering out of the pain, and I just want to make sure that I followed you, because I think the point you made was very interesting and really quite helpful to the listening audience, is that it's not that you necessarily stop the pain, but you help the person to see it differently, think about it differently, and then that affects the impact that the pain is having on the person?
Exactly. You know, it's sort of like a person will report, you know, Michael, the pain is still there, but it's no longer bothering me. So it might be for different people making peace with it, learning to tune it out, ignoring it. In most cases, at the point pain is chronic, it's no longer providing useful information. So you're dealing with now a situation where the pain really isn't helping the person. I'm sure that you can appreciate in acute situations, we want our clients to get medically evaluated and see a licensed professional, and we want them to look at treatment. But unfortunately, usually we meet people much later on that path. And by the time we meet them, the challenge is chronicity. They've gotten in the habit of being in pain. So the fact is that influence their subjective experience would be their emotional load, their state of arousal at that moment, their overall stress levels. And we can change those things so that modifies the painful experience. It takes the urgency out of it. And I would hope your listeners understand that in this situation, even a small amount of relief can have a huge impact on the person's quality of life. So now a grandparent can play with their grandchildren. Someone in a couple can have a romantic evening. You might be able to go out and socialize and have dinner with friends and start to be human again. So many, many people live in the shadow of their pain, and what we do is we help them change that experience so they can enjoy life more. So it's not a matter of making the pain go away. It's a matter of changing the relationship to it.
Now, do you also work with people that have been in chronic pain and are having a very difficult time either accepting or adjusting to the idea that some of the things they were doing, and very often it's more related to work than anything else, they won't be able to go back to the job they did because of some physical limitations based on the injury? Do you also help people to adapt and adjust to that?
Yes, that's especially necessary in disability settings. So, you know, part of the challenge is the disability and workman's comp systems promote dependency. And very often that becomes a person's job, being in pain or being disabled. So when you're helping people in that context, it's focusing their attention in ways that promote health, healing, and well-being. I'll give you an example. I worked with a client who was a soap opera star. He was an Emmy Award-winning star. He had ALS. And he had a long list of the things he could no longer do, as his mind was crystal clear, but his body was deteriorating every day. And I said to him, well, I can't help you become the man you used to be, but I can help you be the most you can be right now. And we went that route. And during the last year of his life, he accomplished many wonderful things. He experienced many joyful moments. And he was able to look at it in a lighthearted way. So he was in great shape for the shape he was in. So, yes, we can help people reorient themselves, remission in life. And, you know, they do all the important work. It's just putting them in a mindset and a physiology that's conducive to this kind of change work.
Now, I want to switch a little bit and go to a question I have to you about something you said about addiction. And you had said that part of what you do with people is you help to awaken their innate healing. I wonder if you just make a few comments about that. That sounds very interesting.
Well, you know, one of the things about our healing resources is they're not biologically engineered to be very effective when we're in fight or flight states. So by helping someone learn how to move out of fight or flight and back into rest and digest states, their innate healing resources now are automatically able to operate more effectively. So I help people creatively manage stress. We help people focus their attention in ways that promote feeling good versus feeling bad. So we know that two people could be in the same very stressful situation and react very differently. One person shuts down and the other is invigorated. Well, I help people tap into resources that allow them to react to life in healthier ways, to react to life in more effective ways. And I call it hope coaching, and the reason the book is Hope is Realistic is by the time we meet clients, very often they are dealing with learned helplessness and learned hopelessness. By now they've done a number of things, and they haven't got the relief that they hope for. So in many cases they're going through the motions, but they no longer expect to be helped. Because in the past, every time they thought, okay, this is going to take care of it, and it didn't, they were deeply disappointed. So one of the starting points for professionals in my field would be giving the person a reason to believe that hope is realistic. And what I have found is that in one session, a person can have a noticeable improvement. Again, we're not talking about a cure, but a noticeable improvement. And that opens the door for them to think, well, I can build on this, and I can get more improvement and greater relief. So that it kind of really is easy in the sense that once a person has a reason to believe, they get more out of it.
That certainly makes an awful lot of sense. You know, there's a saying that a picture is worth a thousand words, and I'm going to kind of take some poetic liberty here and say, like, experience is worth a thousand words. I wonder if you would be willing to kind of run us through a demonstration maybe of like something that you do, how you help people to take the suffering out of their painful experiences.
I would be thrilled to do that. And I enjoy doing that. I get a great deal of pleasure and satisfaction, and I'll predict that your listeners, as well as anyone participating in the show who does this little exercise, it's very quick, will see a noticeable improvement. So the only people that I would ask not to pay attention to, this is if you're driving or using heavy equipment, listen to the replay and try the exercise. Focus on what you're doing. And everybody else, I would ask you to get as comfortable as you can at the moment. Just, you know, take a gentle, easy breath and close your eyes. And for the purpose of this experience and demonstration, please think of something that was recently disturbing. And just get in touch with something that was recently disturbing. And think about it for a moment. Feel it. Get a sense of what you think and what you feel about it. And send that into the fist you're making in your right hand. So get in touch with something that was recently disturbing. And think about it for a moment. Feel it for a moment. And then send it into that fist you made with your right hand. And now, open your eyes and close your eyes. Open your fist and relax your hand. Take a gentle, easy breath and open your eyes and close your eyes. And now in the privacy of your mind, get in touch with how you feel when you feel love. Get in touch and think about how you feel when you feel appreciated and understood. Get in touch with how you feel when you're having a great hair day. Life is on your side. Get in touch with how you feel when you feel loving and generous. And now imagine sending all those wonderful thoughts and associations into the fist you're making with your left hand. That's right. And these are precious. These are treasures. So your mind and brain is making a copy of these for safekeeping. We like these. That's right. You're in touch with how you feel when you feel loving, how you feel when you feel loved, how you feel when you feel playful. Remember the last time you laughed out loud. Remember the last time you laughed inappropriately. Get in touch with how you feel when you feel happy. And send all of that to the fist in your left hand. And now open your fist. Open and close your eyes. Take a gentle, easy breath. Open and close your eyes. Now I'm going to count to three. And at the count to three, I'm going to ask you to make a fist with both hands at the same time. And something really wonderful will happen. Ready? One, two, two and a half, three. Make a fist with both hands at the same time. And just be with it for a moment. And people experience shifts differently. Some people experience them in their solar plexus. Some people experience them in their lungs and chest. Some people experience them as their shoulders let go of all the unnecessary tensions. Some people find their necks relaxing. And some people just have a sense that a shift is occurring. So now, open your fists, relax your hands, open your eyes, take a gentle, easy breath. You're alert, you're peaceful and easy. And I would ask your listeners to try to get in touch with whatever it was that was disturbing. And most of your listeners will be amazed and delighted to see that it's changed. It's shrunk, if it's there at all.
Well, Michael, one comment I want to make is I did the exercise along with you, and I clearly experienced a change. When we first started, there was just the slightest little bit of, gee, I wonder what this is about. You know, I wonder if it's going to work, if it's not going to work, what's going to happen here. And then I made up my mind to just go with the experience and kind of put that observer on the side. And at first, as you were starting, I felt some tension. But then as you proceeded through, slowly but surely, I felt that tension decreasing more and more until it got to the point where, even though at the very end I thought about the point that was contributing some tension to me, it was more like I was seeing it rather than experiencing it. Now, I need to go to commercial break at this point, but when we come back, I want to continue discussing that with you. And before we go to commercial break, I want to remind everyone that this preceding segment of the show was brought to you by Standard Process and MediHerb. And Standard Process is a company that has a farm that grows organic vegetables, and they make whole food supplements. We're going to go to commercial break. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation with Michael Elmer.
Imagine taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques. What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
So you think you're tough, tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Have you been feeling tired, having trouble managing your emotions, or just feeling out of sorts? The problem could be your vitamin supplement. There is a big difference between synthetic and natural vitamins. Synthetic vitamins do not contain all of the substances that naturally occur in nature. Natural whole food vitamins provide all of the factors necessary to help you maintain or regain your health. For more information, please contact Dr. Alan Simberg at alansimberg.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. This afternoon, I've been speaking with Michael Elmer. Michael is an author, instructor, presenter, and certified medical hypnotist in private practice in New York City. He has two ebooks titled Hope is Realistic and Pediatric Pain Relief, How to Help Take Suffering Out of Children's Pain. His third book is available in paperback or Kindle version and is titled Hope is Realistic, A Physician's Guide to Helping Patients Take Suffering Out of Pain. And Michael, before we went to commercial break, you gave us a really nice experience of something that you do with the people that come to see you. And you basically provided a demo for the listening audience in terms of one of the ways that you help people to take the suffering out of their painful experiences. And one of the questions I wanted to ask you about that, based on the way I experienced that particular demo, is it seemed to me that at least part of the foundation of that approach is to give people permission to experience whatever they experience, and in a very gentle, caring way, you give them that experience, which I would term either painful or negative, in a more objective way, and you help them to learn how to transition from focusing on it and seeing it from a purely negative perspective and actually transforming it into a more neutral to positive way of seeing it and experiencing it. Would you agree with that, or would you add something to what I just said?
I totally agree, and I want to point out that in your first description before the break, there was a moment in time where you were thinking about it, and then there was a moment in time where you let go. The moment you let go, you actually really participated in the experience. And normally when I'm seeing a client one-on-one, during the intake, I can evaluate their hypnotizability. I can outline the best way to do this is to just do it. There's plenty of time to think about it and evaluate it after you had the improvement. So you experienced something that was very important to talk about, because if you're able to let go and just participate fully, it's much more effective. And this is a crucial thing. The good news is even people with low hypnosis IQs can develop those skills and abilities. And the biggest challenge that some people have is to stop analyzing it. If you think about doing something, you're not doing it in its pure form. And everything works better when you're just doing it. Think of the peak performance athletes. They do what they do unconsciously. They don't have to think about it. They've developed their skills and abilities, and now they're playing ball. So it's the same exact thing. And in terms of the transformation, I think that most, if not all, of your listeners have had a day, a moment, an hour, a situation where you've absolutely felt so good that almost nothing was bothersome, that almost everything that you encountered you could take in stride. So by trying to put people in touch with that feeling, with that internal physiology, and then moving it into the painful experience, they re-experience it as if they were feeling that good. They re-experience it as if they're feeling loving and generous and confident and secure. And suddenly, whatever it is that's bothering them is transformed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, in a sense, when you're talking about moving someone back into a past positive physiological experience, in a certain sense, part of what we're actually talking about here is that very often two conflicting things cannot occupy the same space at the same time. And very often, the stronger of the two is the one that takes the precedence. And as we all know, at least I hope this is true for most people, people do tend to want to experience positive. So by you doing what you do with the people that you work with, you're not only helping them to see that it's possible to re-experience that past positive physiological moment, but you're also actually giving them the opportunity to do it, and you're also helping them to recognize that they can have that ability to do it with you and without you, which is highly empowering. Do you agree with that?
Not only do I agree with it, that's our goal, is to create independence. So in a way, over the last 35 years, I've been reinventing the practice of hypnosis. When therapy moved from a therapist-centered to a client-centered paradigm, I paid very close attention to that. And I noticed in my hypnosis practice that it was very effective to give the people the tools and then motivate them to use those tools. So my clients happily practice intentional relaxation and focusing their attention and mindfulness 2 or 3 minutes at a time, several times a day. So that through the course of their day, they're constantly bringing them back to those physiological and psychological and psycho-emotional states. And by doing so, they're developing the habit of feeling good. And in my experience, people that feel better heal better. And I think it even extends larger than that. People who feel better are generally more effective in life. They have more fun. So It's about developing the habit of being relaxed. It's about developing the habit of not letting things stress you out and bring you down. And when that becomes a habit, as that becomes a habit, the person coaching you and teaching you these exercises is not necessary anymore. And that's a cause for celebration.
Uh-huh. Big celebration. You mentioned something a few minutes ago, which I'm not sure how many of the listeners are familiar with this. I'm just going to ask you to explain a little bit. You mentioned hypnosis IQ. Could you please explain that a little bit so the listening audience knows what you're talking about?
Well, let me do another very quick demonstration. Listeners, and again, don't do this if you're driving or using heavy machinery. You can listen to the replay. It'll be here for you. Everybody else. Imagine a lemon. Imagine holding a lemon in your hand, rolling it on a tabletop, getting a feel for the lemon. And now, using the power of your imagination, imagine slicing that lemon. And now imagine picking up a slice and looking at it, examining it for a moment. And then imagine sniffing the slice of lemon. It's a juicy fruit. And now, using the power of your imagination and memory, imagine that you can actually hear yourself tasting the lemon. Now, a high percentage of your listeners will have actually tasted the lemon. An even larger percentage of your listeners will have produced saliva, which is a digestive juice, but not actually tasted it. And then there'll be a few who didn't get anything. So if you tasted it, you have a really high IQ, and you would respond to various techniques rather easily. If you just produce saliva, you can expect positive results, and you can expect that you'll get positive outcomes. And if you didn't taste it or get anything, the hypnotist would do remedial work with you and develop those skills and abilities, at which point you would be able to benefit from what the hypnotist is offering. So that's pretty much my take on hypnotic IQ. I believe that everyone can be helped to a degree, and you can increase the degree.
No, and also from your comments, it sounds like not only do you teach people to be more positive, but you're really teaching them a way of life that you follow as well, because the way you describe things, the way you describe situations, the way you describe the hope in situations, you're really a very positive, encouraging person. And I would imagine that your clients pick up on that, and that really adds to the therapeutic effect that you have with them.
Certainly. That's a factor, and I appreciate the observation. Yes, I take a joyful approach to life, and I encourage my clients. You know, I'll give you an example. I am not a licensed therapist, and I don't treat depression. But I noticed a lot of times all the symptoms my clients talked about as part of their diagnosis went into remission when we talked about what was going on in their lives as a fun deficiency disorder. They weren't having fun. And as they started having intentional fun, as they started creating space for that without any other intervention, their symptoms went into remission. Now, I don't treat depression, but I'm very good at helping people overcome fun deficiency disorders. I'm very good at helping people get greater enjoyment, regardless of what's going on. And again, the sentiment is you can be in great shape for the shape you're in. We're not talking about denial. We're talking about giving a person the gift of enjoying life. Sometimes that really makes all the difference. You might not change the outcome. You know, I noticed that, for example, the word positive could have negative effects. When you're working with people with AIDS, when you're working with people with cancer, very often they're told their test came back positive. Your test came back positive, you have HIV, your test came back positive, you have cancer. And from that moment on, the word positive has all these emotions attached to it, and it's no longer a word that means what it used to mean. Now, everywhere they turn, they're told to think positive, act positive, be positive. And yet, every time they hear that word, they're reminded and re-experience perhaps the worst thing they ever heard in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I could help them change the relationship to that word so that now when they hear it, it means what it used to, and it no longer drags them down or upsets them. So very often it's about understanding the stimuli and the reaction, and recognizing the key is changing the reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's really true. Now, I have a question that I've been wanting to ask you, and this seems like a great time to do it. You work with children and help them with pain. I'm wondering if you could tell us some about the age of children that you work with and basically what you do with children.
Yes. My associate and co-author, Kelly Woods, really has developed an excellent and an effective way where she's modeling working with children. But essentially, children tend to have excellent imaginations. And the key is exciting their imagination in ways that help them be more effective, help them reduce their fears, help them feel more self-esteem and more confidence. So it's not a matter of hypnotizing them in conventional ways. It's about participating in their fantasy life in a way that symbolically helps them make changes that improve their lives. So very often they're given an imaginary superhero, and if the child is already into superheroes, or perhaps they're involved in the story in a way where they realize they can change the ending. And they might realize that all the stories that they love and cherish has this moment of transition where things start to work out. You know, Snow White and Cinderella had rough starts, and then everything worked itself out. So I think the key in helping children hypnotically is in contact with them, in relationship with them, to discover what mode of fantasizing will help them symbolically communicate with themselves in a way that builds self-esteem, that builds confidence, that allows them to stop wetting the bed, that reduces anxiety, that gives them a sense of playfulness again. So I believe that children have this innate creativity, and we can help them by utilizing it.
And what would be the youngest child that might benefit from this type of approach?
Well, I would imagine it's about the child's maturity and how much they can understand. I don't think I've ever worked with a child under 7 or 8. And that doesn't mean that it's not possible to help them. I think as long as the child has basic language skills and you're able to communicate, you can help them indirectly.
Now, Michael, we've come to the end of the interview. But before we end, I want to give you a chance to make any other comments you'd like to make to the listening audience, and also to please give your contact information.
Okay. So I wanted to correct you throughout the show. I have relocated from New York City to Pompano Beach.
Okay.
But even before I relocated, I was helping people all over the world via Skype. So I don't have to be in your city or town to be helpful. But I also have a network of hypnotists who practice the same way. And if you go to mindfulhypnosiscoach.com, You can see a directory if you prefer to work with somebody in person. The website you mentioned is hopeisrealistic.com, and people are welcome to check that out. My personal website is floridahypnosiscoach.com, and I know that pain hurts and I can help. My email is michaelelner2@gmail.com, and I deeply appreciate our interview. Thank you very much.
Well, Michael, it's been a pleasure having you on, and I'm really sure that many of the listeners have benefited from your comments today. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're going to go to commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to give my life-changing insight tip of the week.
We understand your need for quality financial advice without the hefty price tag of the big institutions. That's why at Thompson Wealth Management, it's our aim to create lifelong customer relationships built on a foundation of trust and satisfaction. Our values are based on extensive experience in investment, investment planning, and an intimate knowledge of financial markets. So let us put our experience to work for you. We can help you build a comprehensive investment plan and provide you with the ongoing guidance and direction that you deserve. For more information, visit Thompson Wealth Management at www.twmtoday.com.
As a practical, interactive, solution-focused therapist, Dr. Alan Simberg's treatment approach is to provide support and practical feedback to help clients resolve current challenges and long-standing patterns. With sensitivity and compassion, Dr. Simberg helps clients find solutions to a wide range of life challenges and psychological issues. Dr. Simberg specializes in a number of areas, including addiction and recovery solutions, family, parenting, and relationship issues, depression and anxiety, spiritual counseling, and more. Blending conventional and complementary approaches, Dr. Simberg draws on a variety of styles and techniques to incorporate what will be most helpful for each client. Find out more information or contact Dr. Alan at alansimberg.com. Let Dr. Alan Simberg help to enhance your life through effective therapies.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. As a way of kind of introducing my Life Changing Insight tip of the week, I'm going to talk about an experience I recently had, which really I'm starting to recognize more and more is having and has the potential to have a major impact on many people. Several months ago, I was asked to contribute a chapter to a book. There were 28 authors in that book, and the name of the book is Share Your Message with the World. The purpose of our chapters is to let people know how each of our life experiences have contributed to what we're doing today. And at least as important, if not more important, is the primary purpose of this book is to inspire people. So my life-changing insight tip of the week is actually going to reflect a comment that someone recently made to me. I know someone who read the book, and she read one of the chapters as she was going through a difficult and challenging time in her life. Now, she didn't tell me the chapter that she read, but she did tell me the lesson that she learned. And the lesson that she learned is going to be my life-changing insight tip of the week for today. And basically, that lesson was that things are not as negative as they seem to be. Now, another way of saying that is things don't have to be as negative as they seem to be. Now, what these last two comments imply is that even though we may not realize it, we do have a choice. We have a choice as to whether we want to react or respond to our life experiences. When we react, as my guest today, Michael Elner, mentioned in one way or another, when we react, we let our emotions run us. When we respond, we may have an emotional experience, but we use our mind to manage those emotions so that whatever is happening can have the most positive outcome possible. So the reason I'm telling you about this is one woman who read one chapter at a particularly difficult time in her life, and just by reading it and allowing herself to absorb that meaning, what she did was she mustered up the courage to talk to the person that was contributing to her concerns. And to her delight, the conversation showed her that she was making up negative things in her mind based on one thing that she observed that couldn't have been farther from the truth. So the reason I'm telling you about this is if one woman could get such a positive experience from reading one chapter, imagine what all of you could possibly experience, how you can benefit from reading all the chapters. And one thing that I completely believe in is being of service. And, you know, it is possible that maybe you might not benefit from some of the chapters you read, but as you read them, it's quite possible that you will know somebody in your life who's experiencing something that if you let them know about that chapter, that lesson, or maybe even buy them the book as a gift, you can help to make a dramatic and positive change in that person's life. As my guest today, Michael Elner, so eloquently put it, and again, I'm paraphrasing, we tend to make things mean much more negative than what they really do mean. We give much more negative meaning to things. And as this person so generously shared with me, she was going through a difficult time, but just by reading about the idea that things don't have to be as negative as they are, they may not be as negative, it helped to change everything. For any of you who may be interested in learning more about the book, again, the name of the book is Share Your Message with the World. You can text me or call me at 281-785-0660. And I also do have a sales page, and the URL for my sales page is howourlivescanbeguided.com. howourlivescanbeguided.com. My chapter is, as I've mentioned, all the chapters are, is about how my life experiences guided me to do what I'm doing today and the lessons I learned along the way. I want to invite you all to listen to next week's show, Life Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg, next Tuesday between 3 and 4 p.m. I hope you have a great afternoon and a wonderful week. Good afternoon, everyone.
Thank you for joining us on Life Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.